Right, so my colleagues are encouraging me to start on time. Thank you for finding this room and sticking with us towards the end of the day. I know this is a long day. This is Lightweight Pilots for Cheaper, Faster Innovation, so I hope you found the correct place, and that's what you were expecting. And we're hoping to give you a variety of different perspectives from a number of different institutions. We actually go over a broad range here. I'm just going to ask for a quick survey of hands because I don't have any fancy clickers on me. How many people in the room are from a large public institution? Count yourself a large public. Okay. How many people are from a large private institution? Okay. How many people are from a small private institution? Small private. That seems to be the second largest category. Okay. And then did I ask for large private? Is that the other one?
How about the middle people?
Large private institutions? Not so many. Are there any large private institutions left? Okay. So we have a range of different schools being represented here, and we have a range of different attitudes about lightweight pilots and sort of approaches. So we've tried to pull them together into something coherent here. We want to encourage you. Yes, ma'am. Oh, really? That's usually not a problem for me. All right. I can be louder. In fact, well, no, that's okay. I want to encourage you to use the Twitter tag. The Twitter tag is connected to the session leaf, I guess, in our EDUCAUSE website. And if you Twitter something during the session, Rebecca and I are going to try and pick up on it. So we want to try and make sure we answer any questions that you have before you leave today. And I will also remind you there that on that leaf is also the link to evaluate the session. That's up, and it's going to be up until about 2 weeks after today. So that's where you're going to evaluate this session. I can hear my feedback now. So I'm going to talk briefly about the what and the why, and then we're going to tackle the how. What is a lightweight pilot? We've agreed on these three factors: quick selection, rapid deployment, and cheap startup. I can't imagine anybody out there to whom these might not be appealing. At least if you have budget control, these should sound appealing. And we'll talk a little bit about what might or might not fall into these categories. But reviewing and selecting a tool quickly, I think, is key. Deploying it anywhere from 6 weeks to 1 year. For some of us, 1 year is a rapid deployment. And then cheap startup. Few staff involved, few systems resources, just not an expensive. That's what we would call lightweight. You're not investing a lot of your budget resources into it. And you also want to avoid a very heavy project that never gets used. And that's actually key, and my colleagues are going to talk a lot more about that. Why do lightweight pilots? And this first one was my political statement. There's always someone not to wait for. And I thought about taking it out, and then I put it back in because it just seemed a little too political. But let me say this about that, because I think I had a mini revelation in one of the other sessions today. So in my case, for instance, the person or the people not to wait for were colleagues who make very heavy production environments. And you know who those people are. Many of you probably are those people. If your core competency is helping faculty, because that's my team's department, our core competency is not, our goal, I should say, is not waiting 8 months for a production-worthy service. Do you see what I'm saying? So to colleagues who are building much more secure, stable, large-scale environments, if you do something that looks like a lightweight pilot, to them it might look like you're doing it wrong. But maybe you're not doing it wrong. Maybe you're doing it to gauge interest or to achieve some other goal, a pedagogical goal, a training goal, some other type of goal that is not served by waiting 6 to 8 months for a heavier production system. Do you see what I'm saying? So sometimes your goals are just different from other people's goals, and it's that gap in which maybe a lightweight pilot could get you started. I'm not saying that's where you would finish, but maybe you would start there. I'm sure that if we went around the room, we would all have stories about how requests for new tools are coming faster than ever, and the tools are becoming outdated faster than ever. I've heard a number of sessions today talk about when do you stop doing something. Nobody has any really good answer about that. Do you want to have to justify larger funding for larger production projects? This is a great way to do it. If it has a great uptake and it has good success, then you have good foundation, hopefully some data, even statistical data, upon which to base a larger financial request. Small colleges or institutions can try new things, and this one is near and dear to my heart. I've been to many EDUCAUSE events and the regional EDUCAUSE events, and I do feel like too many things are very geared towards large campuses. Small campuses, I used to work at one, don't have a lot of resources for large enterprise scale, you know, multi-campus, multi-state activities. And we overlook sometimes some advice that we could share about how to get started with some of these smaller things. And then replacing entrenched resources requires quick debuts of new ones. I don't know anybody whose customers are still excited about something 14 months after they first heard about it. So if you can get something out the door quickly and let them try it and give you good feedback about what does or doesn't work, then you have a good reason to do a lightweight pilot. So I'm going to turn this over to Rebecca.
Thanks, Judith. So real quickly, this touches on some of the things Judith was already saying, but if you really think about the old way or kind of the classic way that we approach big infrastructure projects, and Kathy, please jump in. This is really inspired by a conversation Kathy and I had a month ago on the phone, which was, you know, we laid down either the infrastructure, whether it's a riverbed, it's the road that we were laying forward, but, you know, we would analyze, we would take a lot of time to prep and to pilot, and then we would arrive at a conclusion on what we were going to develop and implement. So it was very deliberate, very methodical. Not that it's bad to keep doing deliberate, methodical launches of project. There's still a place for that. But as Judith was saying in her earlier remarks, because things are changing so rapidly, and the hat that I wear at my institution at Lesley is in the learning and teaching sector, and there's so many new tools, particularly the free tools that I'll talk about, that really push the conversation ahead, that we have to be able to support things more nimbly. So in this idea is, you know, the new way, we have it ride the tube down the river. I kind of consider it, at least at my institution, it's like riding the rapids. And you can use that analogy any way you want. You know, the rapids for me is, I'm not sure who's always going to be in the boat with me. Sometimes it's the faculty, it's my team, it's the IT department. Sometimes the faculty are the rocks that I'm trying to, you know, ride, navigate around. But really what we have to look at is a new kind of, a new way of approaching some of these projects where, you know, we're working together. And it's very sometimes turbulent. Maybe you'll get the luxury of being going down the lazy river. I don't know many of us. I'm in a middle-sized private institution, so I don't usually get a lot of time to roll out and deploy things. I have to make decisions pretty quickly. But this is how we see things are going, or at least particularly from the context I come from the learning and teaching space. Did I articulate that okay,
yes,
Kathy?
Very well.
All right. So Judith is going to give you an example. We're going to segue into what I call like three different vignettes. So you're going to hear about three specific lightweight projects from each of our institutions, and they're very different. So hopefully throughout the rest of the panel, you'll all take away something that will be very useful to you. And if you do have questions, I ask you to hold them kind of towards the end so we can have more of a conversation so we can kind of get through the vignettes. Great. So Judith?
Okay, so we are, I'll call us mid-size, we're about 11,500 students, private university on Long Island outside New York City. We are faculty computing services, which is 14 to 20 people depending on how you count, really exclusively devoted to supporting instructional technology. And we have a very limited ability to manage servers or software. This is actually a gap our organization is looking to address, but it's a gap. Now, I want to show you the project that we did. I have a history of adding relatively idiosyncratic names to my projects because then I can find them on my hard drive. So this was Project Octopus, and that's the reason for the little logo there. I see at least one survivor in the audience of Project Bambi at Brandeis many years ago. You can quibble with my project names all you want, but I guarantee you there's only like one folder called Octopus on my hard drive. So. Our department was looking at a way to get documentation out to the customers better. We all agreed that paper documentation wasn't cutting it, and web pages weren't cutting it. And that wasn't just because of our web page delivery system, although that wasn't great. Our web page delivery system was extremely hierarchical, and we really only had one or two people who were authorized to make changes to it at any one time. And yet, you know, you could be discovering a new bug or a new feature, you know, every day of the week, and someone who had discovered that, it would have been quicker if that person could have updated the documentation. And it's pretty clear what we needed. We needed a wiki. So we looked at the free PHP wikis that were out there. I learned about Bluehost from Boston College. I don't know if there's anybody here from Boston College, but I owe you guys a dinner. See us? Seriously? Okay, awesome. Because when we visited them, they are an instructional technology shop on their own bottom. I don't know if that's still true, but they weren't connected to their central IT organization, and they were hosting a lot of instructional technology efforts through Bluehost, which is now, I think, we probably most of you commonly know what this kind of service is. It's a hosted server. You rent it from an off-site service, and it will install your software, mostly PHP software, through a push-button interface, which was really kind of perfect for us because we do understand software, we just don't have the resources to do a lot of server management and application management. And this tool maintains the software, tells you when an update is due. Now, there are some pluses to minuses to that I want to talk about, but it was a good tool. So we looked at the free PHP wikis that were on there, and we hated them all. I have to say, too, my staff was not really psyched about the idea of a wiki, which was the first time I'd ever had experience with the cobblers not wanting shoes. Like, they were like, okay, it's new, it's cool, we understand that, but we don't like it. We understand web pages, we can write web pages, but this wiki thing is freaking us out. So, you know, they weren't super psyched about the idea of a wiki to start with, but they really didn't like any of the wikis that were currently available at that time through SimpleScripts. So I said, well, I know enough to be dangerous. I could probably install this MediaWiki package myself, and I did. You can get shell access to a Bluehost server, and I was able to install it because I can edit a PHP file. And so we did that. I installed MediaWiki manually, and there's some pluses and minuses to that I want to tell you about. All 14 people wrote and contributed to the documentation. We had one training session at a group meeting. We talked about how to write for the wiki. We talked about the format in which we were going to write for the wiki. We wrote up some templates, and we dispersed them. And 6 weeks later, we did have a website with all of our documentation on it. And I have to tell you, this is now about 2.5 years old. We've used it every single day since then. It has been a godsend to be able to answer a faculty member's email and say, here's the link to the further documentation about that. So we also use the same site as a lightweight project tracker, if anybody is interested in that. I will show you that. But let me see if I can get this website up. Hey, so there's Project Octopus. This website was organized in a couple of different ways. We assumed that people might just come in and browse around. I'm sure that hasn't happened as much as we'd like. But we also assume that people will come in and search for things. So, like, it's MediaWiki. It's the same stuff that Wikipedia is built on. They come to the left and they search for whatever it is that they want. We actually store a number of tools now here. We have our gallery of innovators, case studies about different things that faculty have done well with technology in their teaching at Hofstra. We have, but as I said, the primary goal was documentation. So if a teacher is using flip cams to do video essays in a composition course, we have a web page. We can just send her the link. She gives it to her students, and it is the latest up-to-date information about not only, you know, how to use the flip cam, but, you know, where the software might be available or something like that. I have to point to the lightweight project tracking, because this is also something that someone said, oh, you'll never do it. Yes, we did. We do have an internal project tracking system for things that are computer center-wide, but just to keep track of things that only affect faculty computing services, we put it in the same wiki. This is something I learned from the project management guys at MIT, right? If it's a project, it's not a secret. If it's a secret, it's a jihad. If it's a project, you might as well tell people about it, right? And so there's no reason why this, and I was surprised, my staff was very resistant about that as well, but there's no reason why you shouldn't have your project information public. If you expect to have all the classrooms in the medical school renovated by August 7th, everybody should know that they're all going to be done by August 7th. There's no reason not to make that public. So this is actually part of the same Octopus Wiki as well. So the pros. This project was literally, technically speaking, up and running in about half an hour. I got very excited at NERCOMP, and I sat in my hotel room, and I installed MediaWiki on a Bluehost server. It costs $99 to rent a Bluehost server for the year, and it was easy to install. Not a problem even for me. I'm not a systems administrator anymore. 6 weeks from conception to debut with 14 people writing the documentation simultaneously, and of course we got out of it for free a nice project planning site, which we use every day. The format enabled us to embed the site in a frame in Blackboard. This was a clever idea that one of my staff had after we had started the documentation project. He said, you know, it's just a web page. We could use that as the central frame in our Blackboard site and simultaneously notify everyone about our new documentation wiki, but also direct their attention to whatever we want to direct their attention to. And he was right. You can actually just make that the central. You can have the Blackboard documentation page on how to move last year's site up to this year embedded in the frame, and we did that. And you can use it that way. Now, here are the cons, and I want to be completely honest about this, because I still meet CIOs every day who say, oh, you can get a free, you know, a server for $99. People are still finding out about this, although I'm sure all of you are aware of it. There are cons. For instance, it was originally hand-installed by me. The code was not maintained by the hosting services, SimpleScripts updates, and it did get hacked. When Bluehost had a PHP hack this last summer, some of you may remember it, in the spring actually, we got hacked as well because I hadn't kept the code up to date manually myself because I was doing other things. So then the week of our Teaching with Technology Day, we had 1,100 postcards that went out to faculty referring them to a web page that when they called it up, Google informed them was loaded with viruses. Mm. Now, this is a serious discussion. My boss looked at that and he said, it's a failure. I said, no, because you're right. It didn't help our advertising campaign. The advertising campaign was still true. There was a Teaching Technology Day going on. They didn't, you know, get to see the blow up of who was going to present. But we've used this documentation website every single day. It was the HTML that was the most vulnerable, not the PHP. The PHP was used to launch an attack onto the HTML, but the PHP was actually fine. By which I just mean that if your goal is to have a documentation wiki, we still had a documentation wiki. The services were not interrupted. Okay? It didn't help my advertising efforts, but my documentation wiki was sound. We now have a version that's installed through SimpleScripts, but installation will not work after the upgrades. It's stalled at the current version. So this is a serious problem. When you hit a problem with PHP in a Bluehost or some other hosted service, and again, I'm sure you all know more about this than me, but I want to say this for people for whom this is new, you actually have to know enough to go in and fix it. There is no application support from the service provider. Okay. Well, fair enough, but now you're getting into something where you have to have a resource who's good enough with the PHP or the SQL to go in and figure out what the problem is. I have one page that refuses to be deleted. Probably a SQL permissions error, but I haven't had time to pull my SQL person off of everything else and put her on this. Again, services are not interrupted, but it's not clean. Okay, this is the kind of thing that makes systems people weep. You know, it's not supposed to be that way. You're right. And my staff hates it, too. It's not right. You're right. It's not perfect. However, it's still doing what we intended it to do. And we will fix it. It still takes a little bit more manual upkeep than we'd like. And, you know, we've got this one page that refuses to be deleted. So the major annoyance is for us because the tool isn't as perfect as we'd like. But again, if the primary goal is serving up documentation to the customers, it's still doing that. That hasn't been interrupted. It hasn't been a problem. At some point, and I don't know if we're going to talk about this more today, your lightweight pilot probably needs to become a non-lightweight pilot, right? When you really productionize something and you need to have 30,000 people all using it at the same time, I really suspect that we're going to be able to run this in parallel for as long as we need to while we install something else that will do most of the same features. I will also say, since I have a second, that my staff, because remember I told you they weren't that crazy about this wiki, launched a slight revolution 4 months after we did this, and they're like, we don't like this tool, we're going to find another tool. They looked at every other tool, and then they came back and they said, well, I guess this is about as good as it gets in this category. So if we had all waited for them to finish that survey before we went ahead, we would have been 4 months later with even just rolling out the lightweight pilot. Sometimes good enough is good enough. All right, and this is something that is really hard for us to wrap our heads around because we want everything to be perfect in the computer world. It's right or it's not right. It's a binary. But you know what? Sometimes good enough is good enough. Good is good, but done is better. And this is one of those categories where good is good, but done is better. So now I'm going to turn it over to Kathy, who's going to tell you about a different institution.
Well, and what we discovered early in talking with one another is perhaps you're not going to go exactly away with one of our pilots, but the idea being to get you to think outside the box about where at your institution might you consider doing a lightweight. So this slide is just a little bit about CHECO, California State University, one of 23. We're located in Northern California. We serve geographically about the same size as the state of Ohio. That's how big Northern California is for the CHECO service area. A little bit about our FTE and, who's on our campus. We have been doing distance education because of that large geographical size for over 35 years. And these are some of the degree programs that we delivered to the North State for those that are way too far away from CHECO, but yet were the service area for them to get their degree. And then this is a little bit about, specifically I'm the Director of Academic Technologies at CSU CHECO, and I have more staff than this, but I wanted to highlight these three because there's about, based on budget cuts in California, I'm down to about approximately 900 faculty to these staff who are working as instructional designers, supporting distance education, supporting the LMS, the clickers, the live classroom for the distance learning, as well as the smart classroom. So you look at that and you say, you know, pretty bare bones staff. And so as you talk about trying to get a lightweight pilot up, faculty, of course, are still being very innovative and rightfully so should be. At Chico, we have course transformations that we're working on with teams of faculty across the institution. So, you know, lightweight is very important based on the number of staff and the number of faculty, as well as Judith mentioned, the change in technology and how fast it's coming. Now, I report to the CIO, but again, I'm academic technology, so a lot of work in faculty development and training. And we started talking about lightweight pilots because there are those things that are fads, and there are those things that become trends. But how do you know what those are? And certainly when faculty step into the door, there's no way to know whether this is a fad or a trend. And again, in the past, you know, you basically worked with a group of faculty, but you started setting up some kind of structure to support them. But when things are coming down the rapids, it's a little bit more difficult to keep up with that. So how can we help each other within the institution to still allow that entrepreneurship or that, you know, looking at the new Web 2.0 tools? You want to be open to that, and at the same time, you know, you only have so much staff. Now, Chico's example explicitly is we started with Wimba, which, for those of you who've been around for a while, was Horizon Live in 1999. And we've been using that particular product as, you know, live classroom in an origination room, which means there are students live in the classroom with the faculty member up front, as well as then we are broadcasting out over the internet to students in Northern California, or in this case, frankly, anywhere around the world. The idea is that there is a blended audience. So the faculty member is working with a student assistant, with the chat room, as well as the students in the classroom. And of course, we then archive those classes, and students can go back and look at those. Well, it wasn't but maybe a year and a half ago or so that all of a sudden campus requests started coming in saying, what are you doing for lecture capture, and what are you doing for media, you know, for us to be able to have rich media and have a media server? And, of course, the media server also wasn't just instructional. It was also regarding the campus. You know, enrollment is creating a lot more YouTube videos and wanting to manage more of the videos of convocations for the president, as well as, you know, several other aspects of administration. And, of course, I'm looking at my staff. And I don't know how many of you are using iTunes U, at least talking to some of the colleagues within California State University. When that became, at least for Chico, a fad, you know, we were asking the other CSUs, and some of them were saying, well, first of all, it's not accessible. That's a major thing for the California State Universities. That's not good. The second thing is that it was taking up a considerable amount of somebody's time to be the iTunes U administrator. I don't have people to do that. I don't have a half a FTE to focus on that. We already had a real video server, a Helix server, but that is very difficult to scale up because every faculty member who walks in, it's not connected to LDAP or any Active Directory, so we got to create an account. We have to teach them how to link it into the LMS. And so, you know, here we are being very manual and, again, not being able to move very quickly with that and launch it for a broader campus, you know, broader adoption. And then I put lecture capture again under media server. That's not a mistake. Once you capture a lecture, does it not become media? And so ideally what vendors would like is Chico. Which media server are you going to use and which lecture capture are you going to use? And I'm saying I don't have the staff, first of all, to go out and consider what's out there. Decide what in the market Chico is going to use, set up the infrastructure, set up the training. It's just not going to happen that way. Now, in our case, what we then said was, well, Wimba already captures distance education. Now, even Wimba themselves would say we're not a lecture capture tool, but we decided we were going to use Wimba as lecture capture. Because then all I had to do was go to my classroom technology people, and based on the cheaper cameras that are now becoming available on the market, is make some of the smart classrooms have a camera connected to the projector, which goes over the internet and captures it as though it's a distance learning or a distance education class. So that for us was eliminating a whole lot of work and having to make a lot of decisions and build a lot of infrastructure. Now, I say that very quickly. You know, Judith went a little bit deeper into her pros and cons of a specific lightweight pilot. I would say for Chico, as my colleagues, directors around the table are talking to the CIO, we would love to do more ITIL. We have footprints and being able to do more service management, but we don't have enough people to help my unit get into more of footprints. Confluence, which is our wiki, it was about limiting how many people we were going to allow into that because we didn't have a project that would allow programmers to, again, allow that to be open to, let's say, all the students or all the courses that we offer on campus. So we know that there's limitations that are happening, particularly in the IT shop. So what can we do? And, of course, with we're now into using Kaltura. We happened to move to the Gmail for students. So then we got into Google Docs. At first we were in Ning, but Ning actually just now went to a paid service, so now we're in Wigio. So how are we handling all this? Well, it meant changing the understanding and expectations of both my staff and faculty at the university. We need to work together, and instead of expecting my staff to have a complete infrastructure, training program, tutorials, etc., we wanted to bring together those that were willing to pilot and say, you are now our resource helping us with documentation, what works, what doesn't work. And then you get them to tell you, uh-oh, this isn't working. Yeah, it's probably going to be a fad. And this one's really working well. This one's going to be a trend, which allows you to then start focusing your staff in the directions that seem to be more positive rather than those things that are actually going to die. TILT sessions are something we standardly do at Chico. It stands for Technology and Learning and Teaching, and we do try to offer food because food does tend to bring the faculty together. And then we try to set up these TILT sessions around some of the faculty's interests, whether that be Kaltura, Google Docs, Ning, or Wigio, and so that they're actually beginning to support each other and our staff are actually learning from them. So that's sort of Chico's scenario of how we're trying to do lightweights. And now I'll pass it off and let Rebecca talk specifically about Leslie.
Thanks, Kathy. So I get to round out the panel. And I come at this in a slightly different perspective. I can joke, one of these things is not like the others. I work at Leslie, and we're a private university in Cambridge, Massachusetts. What's unique about Leslie is we've had distance ed programs, but on-ground distance ed in 23 different states for the last 25 years. So while we have a traditional undergraduate liberal arts campus and on-campus programs for graduate adult learners, our biggest group of students are adult learners, particularly teachers. We have a large school of education, so these programs we're offering across the country are specific to masters of education, teachers going for a certain licensure, so that's our biggest part of our business. So we've always had online programs, and in the last couple of years, we have a new president, we've had leadership changes, and so we're really moving full tilt into taking those, particularly the distance programs in the different states, to a more blended format. So I represent the group, I'm the director of the group formerly known as Academic Technology, and we used to be in the CIO's office, and now we're in the provost's office. And so we're specifically focused on, we've always had instructional designers, we always had a focus on learning technologies, but being realigned into the provost's office, really working closely with the deans and the faculty on all of these course redesigns. And this isn't the whole staff, but this is the staff, as Kathy did a little snapshot of who's really focused on the technology support, this is the staff in our group that are working with the faculty and also the IT department on any of the things that we're moving to adopt. So for me, I think, Kathy articulates this as, is it a fad or is it a trend? And I approach lightweight pilots kind of more of a proof of concept, particularly now that we sit outside of the central IT group. We're constantly trying to figure out, particularly with classes, our class sizes are usually 15 to 20 students, so we don't have this need for large lecture capture. These are very collaborative environments that traditionally classes that have met on the weekend in a cohort where there's lots of group work, and we're needing to translate these into online, very personal formats. And so, for a long time, we've coasted along with free tools, and I think a lot of people are skeptical about that because you get dependent on it. They'd go away. What happens to that content and that data? So I'm not standing up here saying, and everyone should go pursue free tools, but I think there are a lot of small schools to mid-sized schools that are really resource-strapped, and particularly about a year ago, I was doing a presentation at NeuroConf, our regional EDUCAUSE affiliate, called If It's Free, It's For Me. And that's where we were at Leslie. I was in the process of evaluating a lot of free Web 2.0 tools and seeing what faculty really would be using so we could basically gather enough evidence and also show what it is that we needed to invest on an enterprise-wide basis. And so really that was our institutional obstacle was people were reluctant to throw anything more, I think because people were feeling burned on that lay-down-the-riverbed approach. If we build all these things, there's no guarantee that they will come. Or things, other previous failed projects, and everyone's had them in their tenure at their organizations or at multiple schools, where you've seen projects that had good intentions but just didn't come to fruition for a variety of reasons. And so there was a real reluctance, particularly with the economic downturn when Judith had asked, floated this idea through a listserv, about lightweight pilots. I approached it as, everything, in my budget was being scrutinized. Everything throughout the university was being scrutinized. So I had to be very strategic about the things that we were going to select and recommend and why. And so really for us, we turned this into an opportunity and also to document how we were going to use these free tools. And this was just, these are some excerpts of our criterion process, what we were looking for in our particular pilot. And I can apply this, Kathy talked about WIMBA. We've done this when we adopted Illuminate. We bought one classroom for 25 people as we rolled out Illuminate until we had a critical mass of people to expand on that. So similar process, and these were the things that we were looking for, not just for the faculty, but we knew that we were going to become the department that was going to support whatever, even if that means that we needed to remain supporting some free tools for a while. If the budget didn't come through, what were the risks we were willing to take on, and how could we best support our faculty managing those risks? And this was very clear for us to this was very important for us to articulate internally as a group to each other. So we were all on the same page, even though we're a smaller department. Everybody comes to the conversation with different expectations or understandings, and then this helped us clarify with the faculty we were working with, how we would best support them, what we were willing to support you on. So it wasn't like, all right, everyone go use any wiki you want. We were very clear to say we're supporting wiki spaces and PBWorks. If you want to go use wet paint, that's great. We can support you on the pedagogy of wikis. That's pretty consistent across the board. But if something screwy happens in your wet paint wiki, we're not going to be able to really work with you on that. So, in articulating an informal kind of service level agreement. For us, it clarified the specification of an learning objects, which is common. A lot of people use it. But for us, even though like 5 years ago, I knew I wanted to buy it and I needed it, I didn't have that group of, when I say critical mass, I could have had, 20 to 30 faculty probably consistently use wiki and blogs out of the whole faculty now. I mean, I have whole programs of study that rely on using wikis in their online courses for collaborative group work. And so, but I think most importantly was that through the lightweight pilot process, and this is where I think the benefit of free tools is helpful that don't, count them out, is that you really start to understand what it is you want in the tool you're going to buy. It helps clarify the RFP process. It helps you understand what it is that you're looking for, what the faculty are looking for, what the students expect to be able to do in the tools. And then you can also generate your buy-in from all your stakeholders. This isn't, I think, as Judith was saying, put all your documentation out there. Make it transparent, make it clear. And that was really critical to our success on anything we pilot. And then really, so at this time last year, I was talking about, how we support free tools at the institution. And then after, and within a year's time, by the spring semester, we had then got the okay to reinstate the funding for the learning objects purchase. And by the end of the spring, we had implemented it and integrated it into the LMS. We're a year-round institution. We run in the graduate school two terms. We have eight-week terms. So there's constantly a churn of new classes. So there's never a downtime for us to roll out a new product. So for us, we really do, when we want to select something, we want to hit the ground running with it. And for the faculty, they already understood how a wiki worked. And if anything, they were really eager adopters. Some of them approach, we're a Blackboard campus, so they approach the LMS with mixed emotion, and a lot of people had started just doing their courses as a wiki and bypassing the LMS altogether. But what this did is it brought them back in because now they don't have to enroll their students. They don't have to do all the administrivia. the one piece of advice I give, no matter which approach you, what approach you find yourself doing, whether it's a technical project, a teaching a learning technologies project, is to document. Just because it's a lightweight project and something that you're kind of doing quickly and trying to foster innovation, is make sure you take the time to, you know, clarify what you're doing, even if it's just a departmental-based project. Because it keeps everyone on the same page, and then it makes it real. And then it, you know, maybe the lightweight pilot stays the lightweight pilot. There's no need to take it to fruition. But, you know, there probably is going to come a time where you need to make it bigger. Same thing happened to me with ePortfolios. We used what we had for a while in another product. But in documenting, we were able to then show, really invalidate, you know, the need to go up with a different solution. And you'll get this. This link is provided in the speaker notes. But I just... you know, project planning documents look different, but I'm just sharing with you. You'll have a link to this in case you don't necessarily have a template. But this is actually from our IT organization. So anything I'm piloting, still, I dump into the same template that they use down in IT. And we give an overview, you know, what's the planning and design, and what our recommendation has been, and how we want to implement or whatever. One of my recommendations is all the technical stuff, all the detail stuff in the weeds stuff that are important, you put them as an appendix. It doesn't need to be up there in the whole planning document place, but add appendices with that, because there might be one person that really wants to make sure you did your homework. But most people want to get the overview. They want the executive summary. They want to see that the thought has gone into it and that you're really, you know, looking at the main issues. And I included the ePortfolio one as because this is, seems to be a popular topic right now. I mean, a lot of people are doing Web 2.0, but I think there are a lot of campuses trying to figure out what they're doing with ePortfolio and eAssessment. And, you know, the formula is pretty much the same in the project document. So I talk very fast, so I hope you got any of that, all of that. But I'm just curious, of the things that we've presented to you so far, what are some of your questions or just the general discussion? As we were talking about three very different types of pilots, is there anything that resonated with all of you or ideas that you had? Yes.
Yeah, I have a question. When you game on.
I mean, go ahead, Kat.
I was going to say going backwards is never a good idea, right? In other words, you introduced it. So for Chico, we've had this discussion even amongst the directors in the sense of at what point do we have sort of we come to the directors meeting saying we're going to introduce a topic, and it doesn't mean that we're going full blast. It means somebody has thought about it. We need to do some more exploration. So it starts the seeds. So at least the rest of information resources has a sense of the kinds of things that we're looking at, the needs that the faculty are claiming. And then if the security, information security officer or somebody has a concern, they get to begin voicing it there. And then it's like, now, can I go ahead or not? And sometimes it's been, no, we have something else that we're starting with the help desk. We don't want you moving into the WIMBA right now. But we will put you now in a queue, and we'll start you here. So I guess I'd say a couple things. One is we try to start with seeds rather than expecting to go from nothing into go full blast. We give everybody a chance to sort of comment on it. And then, again, when we're moving towards it, if it's a no, then when in the queue can we expect it? Because really, that's ultimately what faculty want to know. You might have to say this pilot has to go on another year because we can't fit it into bringing it into enterprise until after that.
And for us, despite, you know, our best intentions is, you know, we try and do it, like, we don't call it a service level agreement, but that's really what it looks like. It's really the faculty who work with us on things, especially if it's pilot or experimental, you know, we clarify with them, you know, we have a document. It's like, here's the goals of the project. Here are kind of the risks associated with it. And this is what we're agreeing to support you on. And then also the unknown, like the intent is ideally, you know, maybe this will move forward, that it'll be fully supported at the institution. But sometimes it's not. And, you know, I wish, you know, we can account, you know, some people don't like, you know, even though they sign off on that, you know, at the end of the day, if something didn't move forward, you'll have one or two kind of squeaky wheel folks that's just who they are. And ideally, you know, in an ideal universe, you know, on paper, we try and do everything, quote unquote, right, take it through our teaching and learning and technology committee. We have a pretty elaborate IT governance process at our institution where we have like three subcommittees of overarching, you know, and then we have an overarching IT decision-making group. So pretty much any project with a price tag, and it might seem low, particularly if you're at a big institution, but at ours, anything that's got over a price tag of $5,000 in licensing has to kind of go through some sort of process. So that's why for us documenting is so important.
Yeah, I don't know if this will be helpful to you at all, but we do have a larger project management process that most of the staff try to avoid. And my repetition with them is that project management form is your certification that you have completed all the communication that it implies. So it really doesn't matter whether it's one page or not. You are implying that you've talked about this with all of the resources that are involved, all of the people who need to buy in, all of the people who care, even if the budget is a dollar, and you have completed that. You know that there's some interest in this and a level, and that can be for a lightweight pilot or that can be for a very large project. I don't know if that it helps at all because people see that planning process is onerous, and I really don't think the planning process is any different whether it's a free tool or a very expensive tool. With that said, you know, I think that a lightweight pilot, I'm thinking about your point about you can never take this back. You can take it back because, at least at my school, if we can identify it would take X number of dollars and Y number of people and those resources haven't been allocated, then everyone knows that. Again, that shouldn't be a secret. If the university has decided to put its money, so I came from the university where we just canceled our football program, right? If the president has decided to put his money into something different, that's fair and reasonable and not a secret. But I understand what you're saying about it is hard to take something back from teachers once they find that it's successful. I think something like this, and especially something like what Leslie is proposing where you document this, is the strongest possible case you could make for getting more resources for a larger installation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't be the only person with faculty who think, well, why can't you just turn it on? And telling them this is three full-time people at a cost of X dollars and plus, you know, the licensing fees, and we don't have that, clarifies that discussion very quickly.
Mm. Well, we have administrators like that, too.
But
I would also add there's always, I think no matter over the years, the longer I've either worked in academic, whatever you call academic technology, we call it all a variety of things, but I always feel like it really relies on communication. The technology itself tends to be the easiest thing that we're working with day in and day out. But it's the articulation of and being able to articulate it in a common language, which is difficult. Because I know at least in the teaching and learning and technology space, you know, we could all be saying the same word. We could all be saying wiki. We could be meaning very different things about the approach to, or we say the word even implementation. And that's going to take on very different meanings for folks. And what I've liked about our approach to pilots and doing it in a very lightweight sense is those details on implementation start to surface pretty quickly. I start to understand a little bit better, even though I'd like to think, oh, I know it all. I don't. But I start to see a little bit more clearly what the implications are for our group if we were to go forward on a bigger implementation and also implications for other groups. But I do think how everybody's organized across all the institutions, academic tech is a really funny, weird place that is techie, but not techie enough. And so it really relies on really good communication relationship building to whomever it is you're working with in the organization. That in and of itself is a day-long workshop. Other questions or comments that takeaways? Are people already lightweight? I'm really curious. Have you been lightweight piloting and didn't even know it? As you sit here and you go, I do this all the time. You're out there doing. Yes, I see nods. Well, they're doing it. See, no, you can point to us. No, that's good to hear. I think a lot of us, when we were talking about it, we're all struggling with similar things where we need to change quickly, but working in organizational structures that are telling us the two same things. You need to do it quickly, but very deliberately at the same time. And those don't always work well together.
That's why I wanted to make my point about the pros and the cons of my little technical implementation, which was, you know, in some ways obviously a bad idea. But, you know, what is the goal? If the goal is to provide a service for X number of customers, and you've achieved that goal, then you did it right. Now, obviously, if you are, you know, revealing FERPA-protected data or, you know, Social Security numbers get into the clear or something else, that is a problem. There has to be a minimum level beyond which you did it wrong. But if you actually can, you know, my staff are, I can't even, so I can see one person tweeted about, I can't believe IT people like wikis, and that's going to be the one thing my staff sees, and they're going to be pissed at me. But, you know, they were very concerned that people were going to find this tool and just make use of it in random ways. And I'm not, you know, and most of us weren't. I mean, there was a discussion in the department, but I think the lightweight pilot is, if nothing else, there has to be a space for serendipity. you simply cannot plan every single thing that comes down the river. And if you don't have a space for serendipity, you're not going to find those wonderful tools that intersect with a teaching activity in a way that you never expected. So lightweight pilots are your opportunity for serendipity. And if you can't do them, you have to persuade someone, I think, that way.
Well, I think that's an excellent place to end and right on schedule. I don't think I can top serendipity. Thank you, everyone, for coming at the end of the day. And like I said, make sure you do your evaluations and let us know if you have any questions. Thank you.